Hello, this is Esperanza Phoenix, and welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy, a podcast about a lifetime of unfortunate, unusual, and enlightening experiences, and how some of us use humor and hope to survive mental illness. In our podcast, we discuss controversial and adult topics. We are all adults here. There will be swearing. So today we have another interview, and we are interviewing my dear friend, Eli B. So how are you doing today, Eli?
I am really good. Excellent, even. Yeah, gotta love these weekends off. Working a good 9 to 5 now.
One of the reasons why I asked Eli on here, besides the fact that he's like a super cool person and I just wanted to be able to talk to him, is that Eli is one of those weird cases who has actually managed to get success during this COVID pandemic.
Woo! Definitely.
So it's a good news pandemic story. Yay!
Yes, we definitely need a little light. We all need a little light. And I'm happy to be here to share my story.
So first, you graduated from some sort of a course, right?
Yeah, I went to San Joaquin Valley College for business administration and got my certificate in that. And it was like a 9-month course, rigorous homework, and at least the teacher was hot, so it was worth it.
Tell us a little bit about personally, because I think some may have pictured some hot blonde chick, and that sure is not what your teacher looked like.
Oh, yeah, no. Okay, so now I probably haven't guessed already. Hi, I'm gay. It's a thing now, I guess. 2020, get your rights. So the teacher was, he looked like a little hobbit man. Just really short.
No, you were with the hobbits.
Yeah, neither did I.
So you were a fan of Willow then?
Okay. Yes. Super cute, man. Anywho, I don't know how I passed, because during the end of, like, you know, the last few modules, I was slacking off so hard. But he managed to kick my butt into gear by the end of it, and I went on externship, and literally the day that I went on externship, COVID happened. Everything got shut down.
Okay, for the layperson artist like me, what does that mean, externship?
Instead of an internship, it's like the same thing.
Oh, wait, they kick you out and make you, like, walk the streets instead of coming to work? What is that?
No, so they set up like a deal with a business or wherever you would like to get some experience. Let's say I wanted to do accounting, so they would have linked me with an accounting firm, and I worked there for like 140 hours. It's like an equivalent to like 2 or 3 months. And just get my hours, not get paid for it.
Internships are bullshit, man. The whole concept of an internship, the whole thing is just that's a bunch of bullshit, man.
Absolutely. So fortunately and unfortunately, everything got shut down. And the marketing company that I was going to be working with, they closed their doors, so they weren't bringing in anyone new. And I was just like, okay, so guess what? You have to do this online. And it was super easy. I think it was like a 4-week thing. I had to like log in every day, do some bullshit discussion about random topic. Like, one of them was, if you caught someone stealing, what would you do? And we have to write like a 500-word response or something like that. It was absolutely
ridiculous. Like, I would get my machete and hack off their hand right then and there.
Doing the old school way, right? Oh, man. So I finished that, and I got a call from my student advisor. She's like a counselor who helps students try to find a job.
Not you specifically.
not me specifically, but I got this really cool lady. She was African-American, and she was just like, all right, well, I'm going to get you into somewhere. I need all these forms signed by this date, blah, blah, blah. And she set me up with, I won't say the name of the place, but a local health facility.
Ah. So you are an essential worker then, because you're working with a healthcare facility.
Yes, yes. I got into HR. Absolutely wild. Yeah. I was trying to go for like marketing or accounting because that's something that I really excelled in. I actually failed the HR portion and had to come back and retake it. So I was just like, of course I would land in HR.
So when they ask you questions like, you know, somebody comes bitching to you about this, and you're like, I tell them to fuck off.
If only. Inside my head, I'm thinking that's for sure. Because working in healthcare, it's like always changing, it's very busy.
Especially now. Now, what is it you were doing for work before you went and took this course and all of that? What was going on with you before you decided to go back to college?
I was working at a gas station, and I was working at this gas station going on like 2.5 years on and off.
Mini Mart work then.
Yeah, just standing there all day, and it was so tiring. Yeah, it's
right. I bet.
Tweakers, crazy people. We'll just call them crazy people.
Well, as I will often say, I'm still not sure what I want to be if I grow up. At some point I will do a podcast about, and I'm not lying when I say this, I have had 32 different jobs.
Wow. Like different industries?
Yeah.
Or just like
32 different industries. I wrote them all out. Everything from real estate sales and I was a nude model for the college once.
Oh my God.
I was a stripper, but not that kind of stripper.
Wait. There's another kind?
Yeah, I worked for a print house, a print company.
Okay.
And when you strip the film to make out the printing negatives, it's called stripping. To strip the film.
Okay, I'm a stripper.
So I stripped film for a while, but I have actually posed naked as a job as well. And I don't recommend it. Never be a nude model for the college, because the camera adds 10 pounds. College students add 20.
Oh, shit.
They're like fascinated with rolls, man. They are fascinated. Don't do it.
Oh, I probably will not, especially now I've got this quarantine body going on, you know.
You look cute. Thank you.
I look like a father of two. It's fantastic.
Hey, you know, I hear the dad bod is like all the rage nowadays. So.
Oh, yeah, it really is. I get hollered at. Just the other day, I was walking into work, and some man was like, hey, blow that ass! And I was just like, all right, thank you. Hi.
Sounds like somebody's driving by your house with a Harley. So you were in the not-so-lucrative gas station business before you decided to take this course. So you were just like, I'm going to better myself and get the fuck out of the gas station. And so you went and took these classes. That's so awesome.
Yes. And
nobody's getting employment right now. Everybody's losing their jobs.
Right. Absolutely. It's wild times that we're living in, you know, and some people who have jobs have to like work too now just to like keep up with everything because hours are getting cut. Businesses are staying open as late, but hopefully everything turns around soon.
Yeah.
You know, we can all just pray.
And I keep coming back to it because I interviewed Johnny Korn. Do you know Johnny?
I do not know Johnny, but I listened to one of your past podcasts. Austin.
My podcast about him. So, yeah. So I'm still waiting to actually hear from Johnny himself. Tonight is his the show he was supposed to be in. The benefit is tonight. But I haven't actually gotten a message from him since he went in the hospital. So as soon as I hear something, I'm gonna let the pod listeners know. But I just don't know.
Wow.
Yeah. So from having to drive DoorDash to now this health crisis. Yeah. People are hurting, man. This is some scary times.
Definitely.
So I am glad to hear it's not scary for you. You're having
Or actually yesterday I signed the papers for my promotion. And I went from receptionist to HR coordinator.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I'll be recruiting people, doing the hiring. Luckily, no interviews. Because I'll just sit there and make people laugh and we won't get anything done. That's pretty much how work is going right now.
So when in your interview where they're like, okay, now what is your strong suit? And then they always ask you, okay, what is your weakness? So you're like, oh, I like to make people laugh.
Oh, yeah, she did ask. I don't know, in the interview, it was really cool. Like me and, I can't say her name, me and my boss.
Jane Doe.
Yeah, me and Jane Doe, we got along, like, we instantly clicked. She brought in the paralegal to meet me, and it was just her at the time working, managing this facility. And I was like, how are you doing this? Yeah, I realized that, like, now I was like, how did she do that all by herself? Like, there is a whole lot that goes on in HR, and I'm really happy to be making an extra $2 an hour for right now. She wanted to go for 20, but I'll settle.
Yeah. You gotta take what you gotta take. But, well, I see you're all excited about being promoted, but from what you've just said, she's going, thank God, I've been doing all this shit all by myself. Oh my God, promote this guy. I don't even care. Just promote him.
Yes, every day when we're leaving, she's like, oh my God, you're amazing. Like, thank you so, so much. I'm like, it's no problem. It's actually fairly easy work. It's just so much of it.
You're like, compared to dealing with tweakers at a gas station, this is like a piece of cake, man.
And I get to choose how long I want my break, if I want like a half an hour break or an hour break. Like,
what?
Yeah, I'll just have to stay an extra 30 minutes and that's fine. You know, it's worth it.
That is hella cool. So you're making some money, but were you both working and going to school then when you were taking your classes, or did you take some time off work?
I took time off work, because I had to wake up at like 7. No, I had to be there at 7. So I had to wake up at like 5. And at the time, I was living, me and my sister had an apartment together, and my car just broke down. So I was riding 3 miles to go get my mom's car early in the morning. So that was a good workout. It was just like a lot, and then having to do all the assignments over the weekend, I was just like, okay, maybe I will take some time off. And luckily, my parents were like cool with it, and they helped me like pay my bills.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so yeah. I owe them money.
Yay for family support. And how often do people with supportive families wind up falling back on their families in times like this? Like, you wanted to get an education, your family's like, yeah, sure, we'll help you out. Thank you to your family.
Yes, thank you, Mom. I'll have to tell her when I see her later.
I'm friends with your mom on Facebook.
I saw that. I was like, that's funny.
I was like, oh, Eli's mom's out here. Eli's cool. His mom's probably cool.
She's a wild one, that's for sure.
Gee, I wonder how you got that way.
Exactly. The fruit doesn't fall far from the tree.
In this case, the nut doesn't fall far from the tree.
Oh, I think I definitely meant fruit.
I'm the nut, you're the fruit. Fruit's a nut.
peanuts and fruit.
Or the perfect snack, you know, we're just like.
I'm a whole entree now. A two-piece biscuit meal with an extra side.
I hear during that shortly before all hell broke loose, you also met somebody. Are you still seeing that somebody?
Yes.
And that's going well.
Very, very well.
I'm glad to hear that.
But I'm also confused because I think I was talking about someone else.
So we met more than one someone.
Yeah. My life is a little confusing. It's wild.
Well, it's good to have options.
Yes. And I really like this guy. We'll call him Hermes. Well, one day I was talking about like personalities and like astrology and stuff like that, because sometimes I can be a very esoteric person, or it's a word, an eclectic person. And he was like, well, who do I remind you of? And I said, Hermes. I don't know why, but my gut was like Hermes. And it turns out Hermes is like the god of messenger. He's a messenger. He's also...
not like Facebook messenger. This is like...
No. He's not. he's also the god of like beauty? Or no, he's the most beautiful out of the male gods. And yeah, this guy is very, very, very attractive.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's always good when they're beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I never thought I was like a vain person, but I might be.
We all like eye candy.
Yes. I call him Snow Bunny. Hi, Snow Bunny. Oh my god, this fly just went in my mouth.
Extra protein, it's fine. Yeah. Maybe you should transport yourself inside.
Yes. It's like these flies are just molesters. They just like to rub on your body, you know?
My boyfriend is like totally calm and mild-mannered about everything except flies. Mm-hmm. And he has like this weird violent streak when there's a fly around. Like, he goes nuts. He gets like a magazine and starts like eating at the windows and the shades and everything. He's like, it's terrifying. He's like, it's a war.
I do not blame him, because I don't know, these flies are nothing like Michigan flies. Oh yeah, a little tidbit about me, listeners. Hi, I'm from Michigan. Yes, but these flies here in California are just ruthless.
The ones in Michigan are more polite. They ask permission before they land on your food.
Yeah, definitely. They're like, bzz, bzz. I'm like, yeah, go ahead. That's fine. I'm not eating that anymore.
I was done with that. It's okay. It's fine. Yeah, no, my boyfriend's crazy about him. I actually got him this weird device. It looks like a tennis racket, but it's like a bug zapper.
What?
Yeah, so now when there's a fly around, he goes swinging wildly through the air with this tennis racket.
Oh my god, that is so cool though.
And when he makes a connection, it goes...
Oh my god, I want one.
I'm like, yay, you got one. Good for you. And I don't have to clean the windows so much with all the smacking with the fly guts.
Oh, yeah.
So, in addition to your new HR position, which is so awesome, before that and the way that we met was you do some stand-up.
Yeah, I dabbled. Put my toe in.
When did you start doing that?
I started doing that October 2017. So before I took this very long hiatus, I guess we all are taking a very long hiatus.
So have you done any of the Zoom things or any of that?
No.
I haven't either. I haven't. I mean, I kind of thought about it, but I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, like, I appreciate those people out there doing that. Because, you know, right now we need laughter. And my dog, chill dog. And, but for me personally, I'm going to have the laughter in the background. Unless somebody's, like, playing a laughing track, that would be cool. You know,
like, I'm going to steal the laugh tracks off of old sitcoms. I have friends who, I don't know, I guess perhaps I have a distinctive laugh, but when I used to go to I used to participate in live theater and on stage, backstage.
Oh my god. Oh, no.
Costumes. I ran Spotlight. Any aspect of live theater, I was somehow participating in it back in the day. And I used to have friends that would invite me to their shows deliberately when it was a comedy because they're like, I can tell when you're in the audience. I heard you laughing. I knew you were here.
I love people with like unique laughs like that. And especially because I'm also a theater kid.
But yeah, tell me more.
I've dabbled in theater too. I did it for practically my whole high school career, yeah. Because I took the drama class in freshman year. And after that, I did shows like Your Good Man, Charlie Brown, the musical where I played Charlie Brown. Oh my God, it was so much fun. But also, Charlie Brown is an emo kid. And, you know, I had to get like inside the mind of Charlie Brown. And it was just like a really weird part of my life where I was just like, no, guys, I'm just going to go home instead of hanging out. Like, I don't feel like doing that. Such a weird time. But anywho, my favorite show would have to be, we did Medea. I forget who it was written by. It's like an old Greek story.
I am not familiar with that one.
Yeah, this lady, she goes postal after her man breaks up with her, kills her children.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah. It was one of those competition acting things. I forget what it's called. I think it's called forensics. Oh. A forensics competition. It's like 30-minute plays or 30-minute musicals. So we broke down this whole masterpiece into 30 minutes and used music by this group called Brand New to like segue into different points of the story, just like kind of move the story along, you know. It was a really cool experience.
That is neat.
But I think I played the slave on that show.
Well, if you'd done any theater in my hometown of Sonora, you would have probably wound up having to play the slave at some point because, like, we had like no people of color in our town, like at all. Yeah, up there in the mountains, we had like no people of color. When I was 16, this amazing guy Ronald, I've talked about him before because he was like my first love, absolutely gorgeous Jamaican Canadian. So hot. And from Canada. So he had kind of this very sophisticated kind of accent and he spoke French. When he came into town as a college student, it was like, oh, well, we've got this black part and that black part and this black part.
Whoa.
So let's see. He was in Big River. Last Lover of the River Cain. He got to play Marley. We did a Miner's Christmas Carol and he played Marley.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
He was hilarious. But because of the fact that we had such limited diversity in town, it's like if you could get in the theater with your color, man, you had every role that was coming up.
Oh my gosh. Oh man.
Yeah, it was weird.
My school was predominantly black, so I guess the director, you know, took his liberties to like switch it up, you know, black Charlie Brown with a white little sister. I forget the little sister's name, but my sister was white.
Hey, you know, it's what was it, the 90s then? That's typical.
Right. Oh man.
I got cousins of all colors. We're mixed families now. You got families getting married, you got half the family's white and half the family's Asian. You never know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, that's true.
I like it.
Melted pot. Me too.
I like it. I'm ready for them to stop using the term minority for people of color. Because it's like, dude, you really need to figure this out. Pure ass white people are now the minority.
Exactly. And there's a dying breed.
Die faster. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That was so mean. Okay, old rich white men die faster.
Yes.
If you're not
patriarchy.
If you're not old, white, and racist, you can live a little longer.
I love it. My dog is freaking the fuck out because I'm talking. Chill, buddy. You want to see him? He's cute.
All right, he's chasing the doggy. Oh, what a cutie. It's a very fast-moving ball of fluff.
Yes, yes. He's a little Pomeranian. He's a little shit. Love him pieces.
Yeah, my dog, Chewy, messed up part of my recording last week because of his cone of shame after his testicular removal. All his scratching.
Poor baby.
So you do some comedy, but clearly you haven't been since all the COVID hit.
Yeah.
That's how we met.
Yeah. Up in Sonora, right?
Up in Sonora, yeah.
Game Room. I remember that show.
Game Room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the very first time I did stand-up was in Sonora because I was living there. I mean, it's my hometown, and then I left for a while, and then I came back. Anyways, and there's a little club there called a little place called the Gypsy Shack, and Jimmy was doing a show there like, oh, yeah, well, you should come down and try it, and that was the first time I ever did the stand-up thing. And so anytime Jimmy's doing a show or whatever and I'm around, he's like, well, if you show up, we'll give you some time. I'm like, all right, whatever, let's do this. And I just happened to be in town that weekend, so I was like, yeah, I'll do some comedy at the Game Room, and then I got to meet you. Yay!
It's so cool. That was such a funny night, like a good night. Like, I think that was probably one of my better sets that night. Especially when the shot bottles fell out of my shirt.
I remember something falling, and I remember you sitting down on stage at some point. I'm not sure why.
I don't know either. I was pretty late. So
maybe because you were very high.
I love marijuana. I can't help it.
Hey, you know, it is, it's one of the best intoxicants.
Yes. I've actually slowed down on drinking, and I also made a promise to myself never to perform under the influence of alcohol ever again.
Well, that's probably wise.
Yeah.
Did you listen to the podcast about the psychedelic show?
Yes, I did. Oh, my God, Tom. Tom, I want to know.
Crazy?
I want to see this. That is so cool. Like, I actually did acid recently. Like, ooh. So I can only imagine doing acid and stand-up comedy. Oh, my God.
Because I'm one of those existential kind of people. So when I'm on shrooms, man, I am deep.
Yes.
I'm like thinking about the people I love. I'm not sure how that would work. Am I going to be funny, or am I going to be like just like going off on topics of, you know, but why? Why can't people understand the concept of humanity? I don't understand. I'll be like, just like, okay, everybody, I know we're in mass, but everybody just like hug, okay?
Oh my God, that's great.
I'm not sure where that would take me. I'd like to try it, but I'm a little nervous where I'd go.
Yes, maybe I'd do like a little microdose, because my hallucinogen of choice is acid. Hallucinogen, psychedelic of choice is acid.
It's both. It counts as both.
Like my recent, I went camping maybe a month ago.
Yes, I didn't get to hear about your camping trip. How did that go?
It was so much fun. Well, we showed up on Saturday. What day was that? Labor Day? Yeah, Labor Day. That was Labor Day. Or Labor Day weekend. So we showed up on Saturday. We get to the mountain. I rented my friend's Prius.
Okay. And
trusted Google with my life. End up on a dirt road in the mountains, like going up this dirt road in a Prius.
Oh, wow.
And, and it's like not even upkept. Like, this dirt road has not been a legit road in a long time.
Pause your story for a second. Can you get your dog to stop jingling?
Oh, yes. But in the other room.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. Now I feel like the bitch, man.
Don't. It's fine.
Promise you'll play with him extra after we're done, so I don't feel bad.
Okay. I will. Every time I talk on the phone, he's like, wow.
So you're headed down the dirt road in the Prius.
Yes. And then about a mile up, we realized, well, this isn't probably where they are. It's time to go reverse. And I went reverse and almost hit a tree. Yeah. My friend wasn't mad, though, when I returned the car, luckily. I thought she was going to be because there were some scratches and dings. But we ended up finding the campsite after driving down the correct road.
And what area did you go camping in?
Herring Creek.
I haven't heard of that.
It's maybe, what was that, 10 minutes away from Strawberry. Maybe 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know Strawberry, yeah.
But it was just like, as soon as we got there, I like kissed the ground. I know what season was happening, but I was so happy to not be driving on a fucking mountain. And the first question I asked was like, where's the acid? And my wizard, he just popped up out of nowhere. He's like, oh, here you are. So I took two. He's like, oh, you're going to take two. And I was like, yep, we're getting fucked up tonight. And girl, it was scary. I literally had an ego death. I thought I died.
No.
And what triggered it was SpongeBob. A SpongeBob song called Idiot Friends. And it tripped me out so hard because, like, if you're not listening to the song, it just sounds like horrible music playing. And then when you focus, the words come in and they just start saying, like, brah, 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 idiot friends. And I'm like, are these people calling me dumb? And the whole time I'm like imagining that they're talking shit about me to my face. Like, aww. It was so bad. I was like, I need to go to my tent. And luckily they were really like caring people. They're really good friends of mine. And they've done this so many times. They had a walkie talkie system, lights for everybody because we're out in the middle of the woods. And they helped me get to my tent.
It's always nice to have somebody to guide you to your tent when you're fucked up.
Yes. And the first thing I said after I took off my shoes, because my feet were like hecka stinky that day,
no.
I was like, what did I say? I took off my Crocs and I was just like, you know, I've burnt corpses on these. Fucking random.
So are you a person who camps regularly, or was this like a new thing for you?
This was a new thing for me.
Oh, were you a city Michigan dweller then? Not like a campy kind of person, or?
I went camping, but it was more glamping, you know, with the RV.
That's not camping. That RV isn't camping. Because I just wonder, because like Ronald, I took him camping for the first time. It's like, he's like, my people don't go camping. You don't camp. Camping is when you come to your house and all your furniture's on the lawn because you got kicked out. That's
oh my god. Oh shit.
That's the closest to camping that my family does. And I'm like, okay, camping is something we do for fun.
Break it down to him.
Like, why? Why? Outside with bugs and shit, there's bears, and there could be bears.
Oh, my. Right. My freaking niece, I told her, she's 5 years old. I told her, oh, yeah, uncle's going camping for the weekend. She's like, ooh, I want to come. I was like, sorry, baby, but you can't. She, first thing she told me was, ooh, well then, you better watch out for bears. I was like, all right, little sassy five-year-old, like she's gonna save me or something.
But you know the trick of bears isn't being able to outrun a bear. It's just making sure that there's someone else in your group who can't.
Oh shit.
You just have to be faster than that dude.
Oh my god. I would probably be that dude though. I'm so out of shape. There's no way I'm outrunning a bear. I'd be like, all right guys, I quit.
I'm done. Tell good stories about me. Just tell right. All of my camping trips, I've never experienced a bear. Although I experienced the banging of pots and pans because there was apparently a bear in a campground nearby. You know, that's what you do. You bang the pots. you know, try to scare the bears away. What is it about camping and getting extremely intoxicated? This guy was like drunk off of his ass, went to his tent, which is like kind of away from everybody else. Everybody else stayed up and were drinking around the fire or whatever. He gets up in the morning and everybody's like, you know, there was a bear a few camps away. And he's like, yeah, I was freezing cold in the middle of the night and then I got warm. And then I woke up this morning and it stunk like shit. And the whole side of his tent was all covered in like bear grease.
Oh.
And he decided to take a nap up against the side of his tent.
Oh my God.
He like slept through the whole thing.
He was so close to dying.
Well, no wonder I got warm all of a sudden.
Yeah. Fucking 2-ton space heater.
I've gone camping plenty of times, never did once encounter a bear.
Knock on wood.
Bear stories are mostly to scare city people.
Are they?
Yeah, they're just to keep the city people from coming camping.
Oh my God. Yeah, that makes sense. There are no showers? Oh my God. Like, I didn't have a problem, or me and my friends didn't have a problem with that whole plumbing situation. Because the whole time they're doing mollies, like, they call them beans, and they're little fucking shit fairies. That's what I ended up calling them, because they're going around the woods just shitting in random places. I was like, you guys are so gross. Like, they're like, what are you going to do? Hold it? I said, yep. And I did.
I have friends that bring a toilet box.
I didn't even think about that.
It's basically, it's like a milk crate with a hole in the top and a toilet seat screwed to the top of that. And then they just dig a hole and stick the toilet box over the hole.
Ooh.
Right? And then you've invented an outhouse in the woods, basically. And then if you're a good camper, when you're done, you cover up your shit before you go home.
Somebody falls in it.
Otherwise, you're just an asshole. Don't leave TP around the woods. It is not nice. It's gross. Don't do that.
So gross. I took a shower like a wood nymph, the wood nymph that I am, with a bottle of water, some soap, and just like my hands. I was mountain fresh. It was really relaxing though, just being butt naked in the woods. You never would think. I was like, oh, I can take this.
When I was 15 years old, I got a job as an assistant cook at a rafting camp on the Kings River. One of my many crazy jobs that I've done. And so everybody else would raft during the day and I would have to do prep cook stuff. But then I would be just like in the camp, like all by myself in the camp. And that's when I would go take a sponge bath in the freezing edge of the river, try to wash off a little bit. I was doing that when an early rafting trip came down the river.
No.
I'm all sudsed up, and then I hear the hooting and hollering of people like coming on the raft. And I'm like trying to scramble up the slippery rocks to get out. A bunch of rafting people saw my ass as I was.
Oh my God. Oops.
Some of the guys got back to camp later and they're like, yeah, I saw a full moon this morning. Yeah, being able to bathe out in nature is a lot more pleasant when you don't have an audience.
Poor thing. I would be mortified.
Especially when you're 15.
Oh my God, especially. I was going to say, or be turned on, but I'm a weirdo. Then I forgot you were 15 at the time, so that's weird.
At this age, I'm like, yeah, what?
Oh, right. I'm getting there. I'm definitely getting to that comfortability of like, oh, I don't care if you see my butt.
It's like, yeah, I'm naked. So,
just go outside and get the mail or my Amazon packages.
Nobody told you to go away.
Love it.
We got to be comfortable in our own skin.
Amen. Amen.
So after your existential crisis in the woods, I take it you recovered and rejoined the living and.
Yes, it was like the next day. It took me maybe a total like 4 hours to get my mind back together. I smoked so much weed in a short amount of time, and then I went meditating up on one of the hills just past our camp on this huge rock, and it was like, it was amazing. So I came back and We all got drunk that Sunday. Saturday was for drugs. Sunday was for drinking. That night, though, I was, like, so out of it. I went to bed at, like, 9 o'clock at night. I was like, good night, guys. I've got it.
Well, good for you. You probably needed the sleep to recover from your intoxication.
Definitely. It was a really fun weekend. I definitely want to do that again.
Well, once this stuff calms down a little, let's go camping together.
Yes, I would love that. I got a tent and everything. I think I actually have one of those little toilets.
Do you?
My friend Natalie gave it to me, but I think it's a child size. Huh. It's always small now that I think about it. I'm just like, sorry, I filled it up.
I have a 7-foot-tall teepee that I painted. Yeah, and it's hella cool on the inside. It's like, it's almost like a stained glass effect when you're on the inside because of the colors and stuff.
Whoa.
I have not yet tripped in it, but I imagine that it would be hella cool to trip in the TV.
Oh, yes, just hang up lights outside. Oh, my God. That would be so cool.
It's not big enough to sleep in, but it's definitely big enough to trip in.
Oh, yeah. Please do that. Do that for me.
We have to have a nice trippy camping trip. Go out in the woods and, like, you know, pound some drums.
Yes. Dance around a fire.
Now, I understand you make some music, too, huh?
Yes, yes. I've currently just been using my piano fingers because I play piano. But I've just been using that for work. So I'm taking a little time off. But I think with everything good happening in my life right now, like, I'm starting to get back to that point where I can write. And I'm getting back to that point where I'm, like, super, happy again. And, yeah, I was tired of writing sad stuff. So I am going to finish up my album. I don't know when. Maybe next year. Just give it some time.
I have opened it up to all my musical friends that if they have a song they want to share, I'm going to be putting a song at the end of my podcast coming up. So if you have a song you want to share with me, you can zip it to me and I will finish out this podcast with your song and play you out if you want.
Oh, my God. That'd be cool. I'm going to send you Crossroads. Yeah, that's actually, like, one of my recent songs that I wrote. I wrote in, like, 10 minutes to a beat by this guy. He made it for me. His name is Trip Pop. So it's, like, very, I guess you would say, like, Billie Eilish style kind of beat going on. And it's really cool. It's talking about being your own worst enemy and just taking a leap of faith into doing it into the unknown and just try to do your best at it. And it may have some devilish tones to it. Like, the lyrics are pretty interesting, we'll say.
I'm anxious to hear it. I'd say I'm a born again pagan, but I never converted to an actual religion, so I guess I can't be born again. I was just born pagan and stayed that way.
She's a newborn, pagan. There you go, newborn pagan.
Well, we're all born atheists.
Yeah, religion's top.
Nobody comes in with a religion. We just
baby just falls out the womb. Hi, I'm evangelistic Christian.
Hi, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Have you heard about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ knocking on doors and church?
You're like, somebody get an exorcist. This is not normal. Baby should not come out preaching. That's wrong. Every level.
Oh, my God. That would be a good bit.
No, I came out an atheist nudist. That's how I came out. Butt naked and butt without naked religion.
I was born with, it's called the call. It's also called, like, a mermaid birth. It's when because I was dying, like, my heart was slowing down.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, my mom went to a Methodist hospital where they value the child's life more than the mother's and childbirth. And literally cut her open on the elevator to take me out. Yeah.
That's terrifying.
Take me back to life, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's how I came into this.
Jesus, has your mother forgiven you yet?
I like to think, hopefully, oh my god, she like holds some secret resentment I don't know about.
You. There's this term in Costa Rica, I don't know if they do it in other Spanish-speaking countries, but it's an insult to call somebody a mal parido, which means born wrong.
Oh my god!
I'd be like, hijo de puta mal parido! Like insult, right? My ex's aunt was coming out breech birth, and so she was coming out ass first.
Oh my god.
And it was a natural birth, not in a hospital. So the way they dealt with it back then was basically the midwife person had to shove the baby back in there.
Oh god.
Twist them around and then pull them out.
Oh my god.
So his grandmother had to go through that with his aunt Anit. And so his grandma would jokingly refer to Anit as her mal parida.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Because she was born all kinds of wrong.
I couldn't even imagine having someone's arm, like,
yeah.
Oh
like,
my god.
Shove back in. Turn them around. Yeah.
Oh my god. That makes my non-existent uterus like cry. Like, oh.
And both my children were mal paridos because I just labored forever and they had to cut them out. So I had two babyectomies and that sucked.
Oh, babyectomy. Get the baby out of here.
Be a mal parido, whatever it takes. Oh, it takes to get into this world, man. Oh man, I feel really bad for the women who are giving birth during this COVID thing.
Yeah, it has to be scary. I don't know. I would be terrified if I was like pregnant or going into labor and having like go into a hospital, because even though like I guess cases are trending down, there's still a risk of, you know, that second wave finally coming.
Right. It's a whole different ball game. This whole thing is weird. Everything is weird.
Have you seen sports?
I thankfully don't like any sports. As far as I'm concerned, the only reason for football is so that you can bring out a marching band.
I love it. Yes. I was watching baseball with Hermes.
Uh-huh.
And they had like digital people, like, or not digital people, like
digital people.
People were like Zoom calling in. People were like Zooming in and watching the game. And so you could just see them. It was like me just sitting in my living room watching the game. It's so weird.
I can see that going really bad because a lot of guys, like, with their beer guts hanging out in their boxer shorts and all sorts of things, I don't see that. I don't.
Oh, my God.
They come out to a game, they dress up and paint their faces and stuff, but
yeah.
You're seeing into people's living rooms, you don't know what you're going to see.
Oh, right. Anything's about to happen. Especially guys. There's some over-sexualized guys out there. Won't point any fingers.
This is about people hacking into Zoom meetings and, like, you know, masturbating and stuff. There's like some weird stuff that's been going on. So like, can you imagine you're having a corporate meeting and then all of a sudden some rando shows up with his
I'd be all like, all right, nice.
It's listing a little to the left there.
Let's get over there.
It takes the whole dick pic concept to the next level.
God. Yes.
No, not zoom me your dick.
Oh, man. I feel bad for those couples that are, like, long distance.
Yeah.
Because they've experienced it way before COVID, you know. Zoom calls, Skype calls.
Yeah. The other weird thing that people don't think about is, well, first of all, it's really hard for people who are single and were single when this happened. I mean, if you're following rules, like, how long has it been since you even got a hug, man? People who, you know, don't have a relationship or whatever, it's gotta be like hard. And then to try to connect with people when everybody's shut down, and then you take it to the next level, which is the people who were barely surviving their marriages because both people went to work and didn't have to spend too much time with each other, and at least one of them was having an affair.
Staying busy.
And now both of them are trapped in the same household, and they can't get off with their lover. And, you know, there's some, there's some, like, really weird, stressed out, bizarre relationship things going on right now.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't even fathom. Oh, my God. Like, stuck in this house with this bitch I don't like. Like, what is that? I'm going to stay at the hotel. That's what I would do.
Trying to have, like phone sex with the lover in the bathroom.
Like, don't worry about that. That's just her. She all right.
I'm grateful to be in a good relationship.
Yeah, good. I've been breaking rules because me and Hermes have been smooching recently. Oh. And it's like a recent thing. Yeah. And his lips are so soft. Like, so soft.
Well, you're staying with one fuck buddy and, you know, trying to not, like, spread each other's germs or mingling with large crowds, then you're still good.
Oh, no, I avoid. Yeah, kind of. Well, I avoid crowds like the plague now.
Literally.
Went to Walmart today. Yeah. Oh, my God, really? That was not a play on words.
That's no, literal.
Oh, yeah, Walmart. Okay, so yeah, I was at Walmart, and I'm surprised because here in Modesto, they had the Walmarts where set up where carts are, like, right in front of the entrance, and you have to, like, walk around this maze of fucking tapes and ropes. And today, I went there, and it was just, like, normal again. It was such a weird feeling. Yeah, like...
Just, like, all the- no precautions.
Yeah. I was just like, this is weird. And they're a heck of people.
What is wrong with you?
Right. I was just like, what is happening? And everyone was there at the store. Just, I don't get it. I don't get why people take their families to Walmart.
Oh, ever. But yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. I think that trip was probably like my fifth or sixth time going to Walmart this year. Like, I try to cut Walmart out of my diet. Sometimes they have shit there that I need.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you really need toilet paper. And what are you going to do?
The toilet paper scare of 2020. I still have packages of toilet paper. Like, we've talked the fuck up.
You know, I was trying to figure this out because, you know, there was that run on toilet paper. People were, like, buying the stores out. And I live here in the Bay Area. Well, space is limited in the Bay Area. There's a lot of people who are, like, fucking living in studio apartments in the Bay. And I'm thinking, have they got, like, floor-to-ceiling mazes of TP in their houses? How is this working?
Oh, my God, TP fort.
I mean, how are they even making that work? They're so limited space. And they're, like, buying boxes and boxes and boxes. What the hell?
Oh, my God. I know one way. You could probably make a bed very easily.
And you have a TP bed. I'll never run out. I was like, I'm not worried. We have a bidet.
Oh, nice. How is that?
Oh, it's the best.
Oh, my God. I've always wanted to, like, try one.
Oh, they are the best. Well, okay, so when I was doing the bubble shows and I would have to go to random birthday parties and stuff, a lot of the people who throw over-the-top birthday parties, so I would go into these strangers' homes. People tended to have these attached bidet things on their toilet. And I'm like, huh, that makes sense. It seems like a good idea.
Hmm.
I don't know if they have particularly hairy asses or what, but that's their thing. It seemed like a great idea. I'm intrigued by this. And there was a comedian who actually did this bit about getting a bidet and how much he liked it. I was like, wow, that does seem like a good idea. So I have this thing where when I'm really stoned, oftentimes I will window shop on Amazon. Mm. You ever do this? You, like, shop for stuff and you put it in your cart, but you probably will never buy it.
Okay. I got like 20 items right now.
And then you put it in the safe for later, and then, like, later never happens. So sometimes I'll go through the safe for later and I'll grab stuff from that list and I'll stick it into a random wish list. You know, maybe I'll buy it later. So I had a random wish list and Christmas comes around and my boyfriend's stepmom's like, well, send us a list of things that you might like to have for Christmas or send it out so we could the family can see what to buy you. And I just grabbed the list and said, here, let me send the list.
easy.
So my boyfriend's brother bought me a bidet for Christmas 2 years ago.
Yes.
I was even on the list, so we're at Christmas opening up the guests. I'm like, what's it? Oh!
Everyone's gonna know that you have a clean asshole now.
The family is like, what? And DJ is just laughing his ass off. He's like, I could not pass it up. It's like, when do you ever get to say you bought somebody a bidet for Christmas?
Oh my god, yes.
But I love it. Your ass feels nice and refreshed. It's...
Maybe that's what I'll do with my bonus next year.
Oh yeah. You know, don't wait. It's lovely. It's run about $100. You could have a... Yeah. Okay. That's the tip this episode. Buy a bidet. Buy a bidet.
Man, if I had a bidet, I can only imagine the trouble I'll get into, though. I'm like, who wants it? You know you want it. It's clean. I got a bidet.
And ladies, there's only one thing you can do with that water flow. No, I'm just...
Hey, bidets. I don't know what company makes bidet, but bidet people, sponsor this podcast.
So now you're a working man.
Yes. Amen.
And you've got good money coming in. Yay. And you're currently staying at your mama's house?
Yes, currently. We'll see. I really want to move out, but right now it's all about stacking the paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to save up some money. Got to pay back your parents for helping you out.
Thanks, Mom.
Well, hopefully life will get back to normal soon and we'll be able to hang out in person. Yay!
Hey, I would love that. Maybe catch a few drinks, a few martinis.
Awesome. Do you do board games at all?
I love board games.
Oh my god. Yeah. You have to come here and play games with us.
Yes. Yes.
Although sometimes we just drink too much and then just play Cards Against Humanity because it's easy.
Love that game too. I can bring Army.
Oh, yeah.
A couple things.
Sweet. Maybe I can lure Kira out of her room. My daughter, she's still transitioning and she's very nervous about her appearance and people and stuff. Even though she knows that nobody I would hang out with would have a problem with her. She's shocked. Oh, have you ever heard of the board game Pandemic?
No. What? What? It's a board game. No.
Before this COVID thing, my boyfriend's cousin introduced us to this game called Pandemic. And it's a cooperative game where you pick out roles like you're the disease specialist or...
Oh, yes!
And then you're supposed to cooperate together to cure outbreak and try to rid the world of disease.
Wow. Wow.
It is hella cool.
That is cool. Okay, that's not the turn I was expecting. I thought it was going to be, because there's also an app called Pandemic. I think they changed the name of it because, you know, everything's happening. So instead of infecting the world, you infect the world with TikTok users. Hilarious. And some of the symptoms are just absolutely crazy, like having the people like stay up all night, so like the social economic facility, everything just goes to shit, and you can make people's eyeballs like pop out of their heads and shit. I don't know, it's just a very crazy app. I do not recommend it.
One of these days, you'll have to come over, we'll have to play some Pandemic and be a good time. Oh, well, Eli, thank you so much for coming.
You're welcome.
Okay, exactly wrong. Okay, thank you very much for being a guest on my podcast.
You're welcome, Esperanza. You're awesome. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
You're the best. Well, that's our podcast for today. I hope you had as much fun with our conversation as Eli and I did. And I'm going to leave you with his song, Crossroad, which I absolutely love, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. To find out more about Eli and his music, you can check that out on my website. Until then, enjoy!
are greeted with a frown while pushing up daisies with my inner child. I tasted the fury, was a fucking beast. He saw wildfire burn inside of me. I shone brighter than any given sun. I became a champion of only one. He said I'm a saboteur, I'm a fraud, they see. He knows that I'm my own enemy. I will conquer my fears. I can bear no witness, I won't say a word. When I'm done, it'll be clear. I'll take a leap of faith into the winds of change. I'm at the crossroad, I'm at the crossroad. I'm on the run again. I'm at the crossroad, I'm at the crossroad. It's a song on repeat. I can hear it screaming rhymes while I sleep. Each time I fall back to where it all began, a different melody plays in my head. I'm a saboteur, I'm a fraud, they see. How could I resist my own victory? I'm his protege, I'm his loaded gun. I will have my price to pay when his will is done. I will conquer my fears. I can bear no witness, I won't say a word. When I'm done, it'll be clear. I'll take a leap of faith into the winds of change. I'm at the crossroad, I'm at the crossroad. I'm on the run again. I'm at the crossroad, I'm at the crossroad. Tell me where to sign my name.
Going to do it for today's episode of Unpacking Life's Crazy. If you'd like to learn more about this episode, our guests, or anything else related to Unpacking Life's Crazy, check out the podcast page of my website, esperanzaphoenix.com. To support what I do here, please consider purchasing some of my artwork, either at my Etsy store, esperanzapaints.com, or at espphoenix.redbubble.com. Last but not least, I want to offer a special thanks to Chelsea Wild, the talented musician who composed the theme for this podcast. To find more of Chelsea's wonderful music, visit minorbirds.info. Remember to subscribe if you want to be notified the next time we release an episode. And until then, take care of yourself and those that you love.